It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Friday the 27th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. You know how sometimes law enforcement auctions off goods that have been seized in various raids, bikes, yachts, and today, Bitcoin. The U.S. Marshals Office is selling a bunch of the virtual currency seized when a popular engine of its growth was shuttered. I'm talking about Silk Road, the online black marketplace for drugs, contract killing, and other illegal dealings. As a bunch of Bitcoin hits the auction block today, Sally Herships takes a look.
Auctioning off invisible virtual currency, totally just like any other U.S. Marshals auction.
From a practical standpoint, there's no difference.
Andy Schmidt is with CEB Tower Group, a financial services research group.
You're breaking up an asset into lots to get the best possible price at auction.
But Schmidt says because this is Bitcoin and the assets to be auctioned were seized from an online drug marketplace, there's a bit more mystique and mystery. But the sale is also just business. Jaron Lukasiewicz is CEO of Coinsetter, the Bitcoin exchange.
The auction is a rare opportunity to enter the space at a great price.
Which is what Lukasiewicz says several hedge funds are hoping to do. Andy Schmidt says it's unlikely the auction will affect the price of Bitcoin. But he says a sale run by the government may have a chilling effect on potential buyers who may not wish to register their names with the U.S. Marshals Office, especially after it accidentally leaked email addresses of parties interested in the sale. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Marketplace Tech is listener-supported, and twice a year, we invite you to make a gift to support the tech and business reporting you've come to rely on. A gift from you in any amount helps fuel a daily dose of tech news from Marketplace. Help us end the budget year strong by making a gift at marketplace.org by June 30th. It's Friday, and for this week's Silicon Tally, we headed to an interesting venue. We're about a month into hurricane season, and in downtown Brooklyn, some new structures have gone up. About as long and a little bit wider than a shipping container, these urban post-disaster housing prototypes are for housing people displaced by natural disasters. They're stackable and full of modern construction technology. They're designed to be quickly built and easily moved. Their architect is Jim Garrison, who gave me a tour of the kitchen and the rest of one of these modular homes.
What works? Does this work?
Everything works.
All right, the sink works.
Bathroom works.
Good, good.
After the tour, we sat down on a fold-out couch.
Jim Garrison, are you ready to play Silicon Tally, the game where we try and stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news? You ready to play?
I'm ready to play.
1 foot by 1 foot of sensors.
Sensors?
Data collection sensors.
I would say that would be the number of sensors we could spread around this home that we're in the middle of that would tell us exactly what its environmental position is.
This number, actually, it's the size of data collection sensors that will be permanently installed on lampposts along Michigan Avenue in Chicago this summer. They'll collect information about air quality, foot traffic, and noise levels and make that data available to developers, researchers, and the city. All right, you got a number for me, Jim?
12. Cubed meters.
Is that the size of this living room that we're sitting in?
Well, you know, it's not far off. The thing it refers to is 3D printing. The Chinese have the largest 3D printers in the world, and they're capable of printing things the size of automobiles. So, and this largest of their printers to date is 12 cubic meters.
Would you drive a 3D printed car?
Well, there's a fellow, I believe, at the ETH, who's inventing a metal matrix that can be made with a 3D printer that's three times as strong as steel. So this is something that's going to emerge and be amazing as time goes by.
Very interesting. All right, I got something for you. 10,000 households.
So there is a figure that my students came up with, that 10,000 households per week were affected by disaster in the world.
That's a very interesting number to think about. That's a lot of households. The number that I'm looking for is the number of households that will receive a mobile hotspot device from the New York Public Library in an attempt to bridge the digital divide.
Well, access to information is power. So that's a fantastic thing.
All right, you got something for me? Hit me.
$35
is actually much less than I would pay to stay in one of these things because they're clean and new.
Clean and new goes a long way.
Especially in New York.
So this is the price of Lego Fusion. So Lego Fusion combines a tablet game with physical bricks and a digital component.
I can imagine many future architects playing with something like that and being inspired.
Yes, we have to encourage them to take their heads out of the computer and actually manipulate the materials that they need to build with, and that we're in a win-win situation when we do that.
Jim Garrison, thank you very much for playing with me in this awesome pod.
You're very welcome. It was great fun.
Don't forget, you can always play along with us. There's a special listener version of Silicon Tally at marketplacetech.org. And before we go today, the biggest gadget buzz at Google's developer conference this week was about something made out of cardboard. The company announced a basic cardboard design that you can spec out and cut out at home, combined with some magnifying glasses and software for an Android phone which straps into the DIY contraption. This thing approximates the virtual reality headsets like Oculus Rift we've been talking about. This isn't a new idea, and it's not the simplest thing, but you gotta love a piece of technology that you can make out of the shoebox in your closet. We've tweeted a link from @MarketplaceTech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.